You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, we want to thank you for joining us this week and pray that as we've journeyed through the Word of God, that it has been something that has been helpful to you. And, you know, I know going through this study in Titus has been something that impacted me a great deal. And hopefully it has you. If you do not have a church home, I would like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. We're at 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. We are off the beaten path. We are two blocks north of 520. We are two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. Those are the two busiest roads on Merritt Island. We're two blocks to the east of Tropical Trail, and we're two blocks south of Merritt Avenue. So thankfully GPS has made us a lot easier to find than we used to be. So we have Sunday school at 9:30, where we are going through the book of Acts. We are preaching Sunday mornings at 10:30, and we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing as we strive to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church, and to be a blessing to the community, relationally, financially, spiritually, however we can be a blessing. That's what we try and do. So we would love to have you come and join us at Merritt Assembly of God. Today we're going to return to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus is the little book. It's three chapters right after 2 Timothy. It's right before Philemon and right before Hebrews. So it's about, you know, 75% of the way through the New Testament as you're getting back towards the book of Revelation. We'll read the first five verses today, and then we're going to pick up in verse number 3. It says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Paul writes to Titus here and says, these are the things that you need to teach to the older ladies. And again, you need to remember that much of the church that is on the scene at this point in time, they are first-generation believers. They are being called out of, many of them are being called out of polytheism into a relationship with the one true God. So this is a whole new way of living. And Titus is instructed that, so he says, deal with the older men in this manner. We talked about that on yesterday. And then he says, deal with the older men, older women like this, so that they can admonish the young women. That's what you see down in verse number 4. Sometimes I may not be the best teacher for someone to learn something. I may need to teach someone else, and they will be able to communicate that to another group of people. There was one, what is known as the early church fathers, And he was having a tremendous impact on the city in which he was ministering, but there were people who didn't like the fact that he was teaching the young ladies, and so he had to find a way around that, because young ladies still need to be taught, but we have to do that in a manner that is socially acceptable and not going to bring reproach on the name of Jesus. So if I am speaking with someone, if there's a lady that says they want to talk to me, I don't meet with them one-on-one. I may meet them in the office, but if they're in the office, someone else is going to be in there with me. Because, you know, some people refer to it as the Billy Graham rule. And I see no problem with that at all. I want people to know that I'm there to help them, but I'm also there to operate and function in a manner that is going to be above reproach. So that's what I try and do. Modern society doesn't understand that, but it's a spiritual thing. It's not a practical, you know, not just a practical thing. It truly does have spiritual reasoning behind it. So what does he tell the older women, him to teach the older women? And that is, first of all, that they would be reverent in their behavior. And that means exactly that they would live reverent and they would behave the way they're supposed to. So if you remember on yesterday's program, we talked about when Titus is instructed how to teach the men, that he teach the men to be sober and reverent, that means not only showing respect, but living a life that is worthy of respect, to live a dignified life, to live an honorable life. And so ladies have that same responsibility to behave in a manner that is fitting for a person whose sins have been washed away and Jesus is the Lord of their life. So that's the first lesson. The second lesson is this, that they not be slanderers. Okay? Some of these lessons are going to be easier for some individuals than they are for others. A person who is a slanderer means that they say some things about people that are accusatory, that they're not true, that they are not made with noble purposes, but they are statements that are made because the person making the statement is adversarial to the person they're making the statement about. So let me say this. Our homes are not to be places of adversity. They are meant to be places of holiness that are complementary to one another. So it's not husband against the wife, not the wife against the husband. It's not generation against generation. It is meant to be a place where we are forming and fashioning our lives in such a way to be pleasing to God, and that our lifestyle is seen by others as being Christian in nature, that our life looks like the life of a believer. Here's where this lesson that Titus is supposed to teach the older women really hits the road, is that slander is the same word from where we get the devil or Satan. In other words, we are not only supposed to use our mouth in a way that is truthful, but we are supposed to live our life that doesn't look anything like characteristics of the devil. And I wonder how many times, if we hold the mirror up, we would see our life replicating or reflecting the nature of Christ, or if we're reflecting the nature of the one who literally exists to bring false accusations against believers. So if that is the dynamic of our home, we are going to have unhealthy relational dynamics with our spouse. We will have sown seeds of discord generationally. We will minimize the impact that we have for the kingdom of God, all because we don't realize that God is working in our situation, and instead of showing each other mercy and compassion and patience, we treat them as the enemy. Don't use your mouth to do the devil's bidding. So you've heard me say about the first ministry position that I was ever hired to work in. I got fired from that position. The person told me that I was worthless and I would never amount to anything in the ministry. There's nothing edifying in that. Took me 2 years for God to heal the trauma of that before I was able to get back into full-time ministry. The trauma was the power of the words. So I decided that since that was the way that I had been spoken to as a staff person by a pastor who was supposed to be building me up and equipping me for ministry, that I never wanted to say things like that to the people who worked for me. So the longest staff relationship that we have had at Merit Assembly of God, she's going to be retiring here unfortunately a few weeks. And she's a blessing. I've told her that there's one of the two of us that is indispensable, and it's not me, it's her. She knows where everything is. She's the one who keeps me on track and knows what I'm getting ready to say before I even say it. She has just been a huge blessing for over 21 years. Not every staff relationship has been long-term like that. Not every staff relationship has been a great fit. But I know enough about God to know that every believer has a fit, has a place that they have been fashioned and formed to thrive in the kingdom of God. And so if they weren't a great fit working with me, I wasn't a great fit working with them, I don't say that they're worthless and they'll never amount to anything in the ministry. I say, you know what? There's going to be a place that they are a great placement by the Almighty God, the all-wise God, and God is going to build them up. So I don't demean them. That would be doing what the devil's job is. He brings slanderous accusations against believers all the time. I don't want to do that. I've been given authority to build people up, not tear them down. It goes on and it talks about older women not given to much wine. And here wine, unfortunately, means fermented drink. It says do not be enslaved is what that word not given to much means. You're not supposed to be in bondage to any substance. Don't be in bondage to alcohol. Do not be in bondage to drugs. Do not be in bondage to pharmaceutical drugs. Do not be in bondage to food. Do not be in bondage to immorality. Don't be in bondage to any of these things that the enemy will use to try and get you in a place where your freedom is restrained and your testimony is compromised. don't be enslaved. So those are the lessons to the older women. And then there's the responsibility that Titus is given to teach them. And that is this: teachers of good things. Teachers of good things. So we have been blessed through the years with a number of ladies who have given their all, pouring into the lives of young ladies. Phenomenal job. Doesn't mean that the fruit is always manifesting right then, because we do live in a world where every individual has been given free will by God. But if you've poured into young ladies' lives the way that these other ladies have, sooner or later those seeds are going to become fruitful. Teach them what is good. Teach them what is moral. Teach them what is godly. Teach them not to be filled with bitterness. Teach them not to live their life offended. Teach them how to live their life possessing their bodies as instruments of righteousness, not instruments of unrighteousness. And so the relationship between the older women and the younger women is that they are supposed to have the role of an advisor or an encourager, because these ladies have been through stages that these young ladies haven't been through yet. And you need to know how to navigate some of those very difficult seasons. So one of the things that I tell people is you need to know how you're going to handle temptation before you find yourself in temptation. If you wait until you get into the midst of a romantic relationship before you decide how you're going to deal with temptation, you will more than likely deal with temptation badly and then end up having to repent and ask forgiveness and may deal with lifetime consequences. Doesn't mean they'll all be bad, but you live with the decision of, you know, not making the right choice. You know, you didn't choose well. We need to teach people how to make good decisions. So when I was a teacher in Texas, I taught, you know, I had some young ladies in the class. I said, y'all need to know how to make good, godly decisions, because just because that person is a really handsome guy does not mean that he is going to be a good person. Just because he's rich does not mean he is a good person. If he ends up being abusive, then all of those muscles and everything just means that he can do more damage, and, you know, it could prove lethal. So you need to know how to understand a person's relationship with God and how they're going to treat one another. So I tried to serve as an advisor to them. It was in a classroom setting. It wasn't a one-on-one setting. And, you know, the person that is described here as young women, it just means they're new to that stage in life. I live with this attitude. I want to have my arms stretched out in two opposite directions. I want to have one arm stretched out to men or pastors who are further along in the journey than I am, so that they can teach me. I also want to have my other arm stretched out to someone who's not as far along in the journey as I am. So I can be learning and helping at the same point in time. Well, what lessons do young ladies need to be taught that are best taught by women who are further along in the journey than they are. And this is a verse that people don't really focus on too much, because they say the Bible reminds men over and over and over again to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And that's true. But here there's a lesson that says young women need to be admonished by the older women to love their husbands. You see, that original thing that I taught said that it's almost natural for women to want to love their husbands. Well, I can tell you, after, you know, into my fifth decade of ministry, that I've known a number of ladies who did not know how to love their husbands. If he went out of town, it wasn't that man that was going to be unfaithful. A lot of times it was the lady. I've known of people, not from my congregation, not from my family, but from friends of mine, that whenever there was a military deployment, it was a family crisis, because the wife didn't know how to love. And a lot of times it wasn't because they came from an ungodly background. Many times they came from Christian homes. They just did not know how they were supposed to love their husbands. The word there means just that. Love their husbands. It's philandros. It means to have a healthy relationship with your husband, one that you love them. And you and I, we need to make sure that we are living a style of love that would bring glory and honor to God. In our society now, where we are seeing this chasm between, you know, generations that were brought up in church, now we've got generations who've never been in church, never heard about Jesus here in America. There's a revival that's going on that's really impacting young people, but if they haven't grown up in godly homes and seen what a faithful, loving relationship between husband and wife looks like, they're going to be clueless as to how to duplicate a godly marriage. Well, how do you do that if you didn't have a mother or a father that demonstrated that to you? Well, you plant yourself in a church, and God positions godly women around you that can advise and encourage you on how you love your spouse. You know, I looked at I'll just put it in my situation. I lived my life as a husband, I still am, and a parent, I still am, that I wanted to live a more godly example than the one that I grew up with. Doesn't mean that I didn't grow up in a godly home. My dad loves the Lord, my mom loved the Lord, for she was promoted into his presence. It's just they didn't necessarily have the greatest examples of godliness, and so they did better than their parents did. They did better than their grandparents did a lot of times, and I tried to do better than they did. And my goal for my kids has been, I pray that they do better than I did. For my grandkids, the prayer is, I pray they do better than their parents did, because the further we get, the more someone teaches us and advises us, the better our behavior is going to reflect the will of God. This next lesson about for the younger women is a little harder to explain, and that is love their children. And again, it means just that. Philotechnos is the the word, and that's probably not the way that it's pronounced, but how many women don't know how to love their children in 2025? Over the last 5, 6, 7 decades, when women found out that they were going to be expecting a child, a lot of them said, I'm not, and made a decision, and no, they didn't. I had a mom, and we never had a whole lot of money when we were growing up. And my mother lived her life making sure that other people, especially her kids, making sure that her kids had everything that they needed. So a lot of times my mother did without, so that my dad and my siblings and I had everything that we needed. So we knew what that looked like when it talks about loving your kids. And I will tell you, the best thing that you can do, if you love your husband or you love your wife and you love your kids, the best thing that you can do for them is to love Jesus. If you've got that down, the best way that you can love your children is to love your spouse. It's not about all of the other activities. If you get those two things wrong, then it's not going to give you the end result you are looking for. A lot of people end up elevating their kids above their spouse. They end up elevating their kids above their relationship with God. They end up elevating their business above God. And all of those lessons, all of those things that are out of order in your life, they end up being exponentially worse in the next generation than they are in your generation, unless the mercy of God shows up. I'll just close out today and ask you this question. Who do you have that's teaching you for the season that you're in? Who do you have that's teaching you for the season of life you're getting ready to enter in? Who do you have that you are teaching because God has successfully brought you through a season of your life? The church is meant to be generational, from generation to generation. Yes, we go from faith to faith. We go from strength to strength. We go from glory to glory. But the church is the church because God brings us from one generation to another generation. Let's pass the truths of God along to those who are following in our footsteps. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.